Good evening. I want to echo the sentiments that have been brought forth about the speakers previous to myself coming up here. I've appreciated all the lessons that have been brought forth. And along the topics of the fruit that we bear at our tables in our spiritual lives, along with the attitude of wisdom that we're supposed to maintain, as well as what Alex was talking about last night, and you know, never being the one to say, hey, you know, I'm not good enough for God. God makes that call, not us. I mean, beautiful words spoken by each and every one of you, and I appreciate it very much. It's hard to follow up with something like that after it's been brought forth. Also, just a brief caveat, I speak very quickly. So I've asked my wife that if I start speaking too quickly, to just put two hands up to slow down a little bit. Y'all can do the same thing, okay? I think it's a Northeastern thing, I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm very happy to be here. Thankful to the elders for giving me the opportunity and the congregation for willing to come out on a Monday night, because I know that's not always a fun thing to do after a long work day. I really wanted to talk about the joy that we find in our trials. I think it's something that, as a younger individual, I've had a lot of trials in my short life already, and those that have had a little bit longer on this earth than myself have probably, you can all raise your hand at that and say, yeah, me too, you know. Trials are something that we oftentimes look at as, you know, trials are from God. They're these tests. We look at Job and we try to get encouragement and be uplifted through these trials that we suffer through. But sometimes we can take the opposite perspective and we can say, no, these trials and temptations are from God in a negative way. He's doing this because he wants me to fail. And it's a sad but very true attitude of a lot of people in this world that we live in. How many times have you walked into a store and heard somebody say, you know, if God blessed me with this, I'd be happy, or I've had this, or I've had this in my life, therefore I'm not happy, and it's God's fault. If God is such a loving God, why would he do this to me? Why would he let me suffer like this? Well, the Bible teaches us that the trials and temptations, the temptations especially, they're not from God. God doesn't want us to be tempted. He's perfect. He wants good things for us. And as his children especially, he wants good things for us. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. If you would all open your Bibles to James, and it's Michael talked a little bit about James yesterday. I believe you said it was the book of wisdom in the New Testament, right? And it's very true. It's very true. James is full of wisdom. And I really want to focus on chapter 1, where it talks about suffering through the trials and finding the joy in the trials. I've lived a very, very difficult life growing up. My father passed away when I was very young. And it took a very hard toll on me as a young 8-year-old boy trying to grow up without a father, not really knowing which path to go. And I had to find something to keep me going, something that I could look up to as a father figure, an example of something to help keep me going. And I have never in anything that I've set my mind to found anything more meaningful and impactful as the Bible and the Holy Word of God. It is the one thing that I can always turn to, no matter if I'm happy, sad, angry, upset, depressed, you name it. I go to the Bible and I find my answers. And sometimes I didn't want to. Sometimes I knew the truth, but I didn't want to go to the Bible because I didn't want to have to face the reality of what I was suffering through. But James tells us in James chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and we're going to be reading this whole chapter. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'm going to stop right there. What? Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. I mean, that's a hard thing to say to anybody, especially somebody who's going through a very serious trial. And a lot of times we'll take trials and we'll take temptations and we'll group them together into one kind of conglomerate and say, okay, if I'm suffering with a trial, I'm also being tempted. Well, that's not necessarily true. You look at athletes and you think about how they live their lives and they go through these progressions of getting better and better and better and better so that they can master their craft or their sport that they're trying to play. They go through trials. Not necessarily temptations. If a batter is coming up and he's trying to work on his swing and he keeps swinging, that's a trial. It's something that he's trying to get better at. He's practicing. But a temptation is a little bit more sinister. It's a little darker. It's a little deeper. It's something that is actually trying to get you, to bring you down. count it all joy when you fall into various trials, but why would I count it joy? Why would I practice? Why would I try to get myself to be happy? He tells us in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives all things to those who ask, without reproach. And if you ask this, he will be given to you. But let him ask in faith, with no doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in his ways. The Lord owes us nothing. Even in our trials and our temptations, the Lord owes us nothing. It is not his fault that we're going through these. He tells us that. But a lot of times when we're going through something rough, we say, woe is me. I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have to deal with this. And I want things to be better, so I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to trust in Him because I know that He'll bless me. But the Bible's telling us that's not the attitude to have. It's not, here, I'm going to serve you so that you give me things. It's to ask Him with faith and love. Faith, believing that God is going to bless you with this because He loves you. It's really a mindset type of thing that we suffer with, these trials and temptations. It's not so much necessarily always physically represented, right? It's something that you may be tempted with, something that you see, but you never have to act upon it. But what is going on in the mind? What is going on to cause you to be tempted or tried in this way? And we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? It continues on in verse 9, says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers fall, its beauty and its appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade in his pursuits. But blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Verse 15. Then, when his desires have conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I need to stop again here for a second, because when we're looking at the passage in James and we're talking about the temptations, and we already kind of alluded to it earlier, you know, we say, oh, we're tempted by God. God doesn't tempt us. We're tempted by ourselves. Our trials that come before us are trials. They're tests. I hate tests. I was never one of those persons that was fond of tests in school. Matter of fact, if you sit me down right now and say you're having to take a test for anything, I'm going to probably find some way to try to, you know, meander out of it. I don't like tests. That being said, I love tests. Because what tests do are they show you where you need to improve. And it's a hard thing to do, to look at something that you've done and say to yourself, this is on me, this is because of me, and now I need to find a way to correct it. I need to find a way to fix this. God didn't tempt me. I tempted myself through my own lust, through my own desires. That's a hard thing to admit to yourself. Would you agree? That this is my fault? Not necessarily I caused this or that to happen or not to happen, but that these temptations are because of my own imperfections. But God gives us hope. He gives us a beautiful hope. Matter of fact, it says in verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that's a beautiful thought. I mean, extremely beautiful thought. To tell you a little story about myself, when I was younger, I hated authority. I mean, with a burning passion. If anybody tried to tell me what to do, I puffed up my chest and I said, excuse me, you're trying to say what to me? No, I don't think so. But it wasn't until I started to realize that that was a fault of mine, my own arrogance, my own pride, that when somebody came to me and started correcting me, I had to say, wait a second, stop, don't get angry, think. Why are they correcting me? There's something that I'm doing right now that needs to be done to correct myself, to better myself. We as Christians, I think a lot of times take the mindset that I can kind of scrape by doing things here, doing things there, and if I'm good enough, maybe I'll kind of inch my way into heaven. But that's not what being a Christian's about at all. And I'm guilty of this every single day. But the battle that we talk about sometimes, the battle that Ephesians talks about, the armor that we wear is not because we wear it because we're not in a fight. We're in a daily, hourly, secondly, you know, every single second of our existence is a battle through these trials and these temptations that we have to overcome. When he has endured his temptation and has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. You do not graduate a college class, a high school class, or any other class you may take that needs a test at the end of it or even in between it by failing the test. You younger guys and girls that are in college and high school and things like that, I mean, I'm sure you hate tests as much as I do, but it's one of those things that you cannot pass that class unless you pass the class, right? And generally those are because of homework and tests. Ways to prove that you're not only understanding what's been brought forth, but you have the ability to think and reason for yourself and be able to overcome the material so that you can continue to advance. Our Christian walk is very similar. If I were to, Paul talks about the bread and the milk. You know, you don't get the meat and the milk. You have to first start with the milk and then wean yourself off of that and start eating the solid food. Well, the same way when we're going through trials and tests, something that I might have seen as one of the biggest tests I've ever endured a year ago, now I can look back at it and say, I have no problem with that. I've overcome that. And that's exciting. And now I'm tested with something else, something that I say, I can't do this. This is not me. I can't do this. But I overcome it. Or sometimes I don't. But what happens then? It's a mindset. It is a constant, constant mindset to be counting joy in trials. That's not something you can just do. You have to think. You have to reason with yourself. You have to question why you're being tested. Why you are trying to overcome whatever challenge you're overcoming. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, and those that have known me for a long time know this is my favorite passage. It says that no temptation has overtaken you except which is common unto man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond anything you are able. But with that temptation will provide a way of escape that you may endure it. That verse has literally been the driving force in my life. The reason that I'm standing here right now and not dead or in a ditch somewhere. Alex and I have been friends for many, many years, and I love him so much. He's fun all the time, but also, you know, just awesome. I love him. He's my brother, really, truly. And I've known a lot about his life. I love his family. I've spent a lot of time with them. They're wonderful people, and myself included have had some trials. And Alex and I have talked a lot about different things, especially in college, and even things that we got in trouble for together. But when I look at Alex now and I see where he is, and I look at myself and I see where I am, I'm happy. I have joy because I was able to overcome some of these trials that I didn't think were possible, that I can stand before and preach a sermon to people that would be willing to listen to a sinner like me. That's a humbling, humbling experience. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's continue on in the text, and we'll pick up again in verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when his desire has conceived it, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits in his creation. So then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God. Stopping again, I have little titles in my Bible, and In that section, verses 19 through 20 there, it says qualities needed in trials. So I dove into that a little bit. I was like, okay, trials, qualities needed in trials. Slow to speak and slow to anger, but swift to hear. It's a very cool thought when you think about it. Because if you're quick to talk when something is upsetting you, and you've now been upset, and you let your emotions get the better of you, and you come in there and you start screaming at everybody, you're not doing any good for yourself or that person. But when you hear what's going on, and you analyze the situation, and you think about what's going on, and you think, maybe this is a test. Maybe this is a trial. Maybe this is something that I need to overcome. You end up conquering that fear, that trial, that temptation, and end up becoming somebody that has endured through the suffering of that trial. Verse 21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When I got married, my wife's father told me that it was me and her against the world. And I sort of understood what he was talking about. I mean, I grasped the concept. It was, you know, it's easy to understand. But it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe the first month in our marriage that things of the world started to kind of talk to us, if you will. And, you know, we were like, well, what's that sound? What are we hearing over here? What is that? And we would talk about it, and then we'd come back together, and he'd say, wait a second, that didn't make sense. I didn't like that. What was going on over here? And then we would talk about it, and we realized what was talking to us. It was evil thoughts, evil actions, enticing us to come do things that, as a married couple, we maybe shouldn't have been doing or shouldn't be doing. And so we had to work together to overcome that temptation, whatever that had, you know, that was at the time. The world is always going to try to entice you. Because the amazing thing about the world is it's full of people. And people are imperfect. Imperfect. Try to do that. And it wasn't until we really sat down and tried to evaluate what was going on in our relationship, what was going on with God in our lives, and what was going on with those voices that we kept hearing, that we realized these temptations are trying to bring us apart. They're trying to get their way into our newly found marriage to drive a wedge between us. And we had just gotten married. What is this? But we were able to push through, not because of our own merit, but because we have the Word of God. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We cannot just read this word and know what it says because, you know, somebody has perfect recall. Man, you can get this whole book down pretty quickly. If you eat enough cookies, you can get this book down pretty quickly. But it's not going to do you any good if you just know what it says. I've known tons of people that could quote the Bible better than I can. Yet they live the way they want to because those trials, those temptations have overcome them instead of conquering them. We are, as Christians, more than conquerors. We are, as Christians, soldiers fighting a war against dark forces, against the principalities of this world. Things that we sometimes don't even recognize are attacking us until, boom, they're right there in our face and we have to stop and say, okay, wait a second. Evaluate the situation, analyze what's going on in our lives, and correct it. We have to be doers of the word. It's a beautiful thing to be with our God, and I wanted to talk briefly about the confidence that we have in God, and I have to write my little numbers down here because I'm bad with numbers. So if you would turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. just a couple pages over. I didn't want to make you guys flip all, you know, back and forth too much tonight, but in verse 6, or 5 and 6 really, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? This world is full of men and women, men in the general context, and it will try to bring you down. It will try to drive a wedge between you and your God. I love music with every fiber of my being. It is the one thing that I cannot get enough of, whether it be rapping, R&B, hip-hop, classical, jazz, country, I don't care. As long as it's clean, I love it. With that being said, I've never felt anything as deep and meaningful as God's Word. Despite how I feel about music, which is astronomical, when I read the Word of God, I see the beauty of music. I see the beauty in people. Pollyanna, to reference myself like forever ago, I saw that movie, and I think it was probably a book before then. I didn't read at the time. But Pollyanna, there's a little saying that has always stuck with me, and it says, if you look for the good in people, you will find it. Right? And Pollyanna says that to her aunt or something like that. This world is going to bring you down, but when you look for the good in it, you'll find the good in it. And you'll find the reasons to keep pushing past the trials, to keep inspiring yourself along with others to help guide you in the right direction. And it's all through the Word of God. There's nothing that I have found in my life that has not been explained in the Scripture somewhere. No, maybe it's not the direct context. Maybe it's not, you know, I have trouble with this and there it is right there in the Bible. But if you read the Bible, you analyze it, you think on what it says, and you do what it says, you'll have a perfect life, I promise you. Because every time I have, no matter what trials, no matter what temptations have overtaken me, I'm happy. I'm joyful. I found a joy, and I say, oh, that's what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about that joy that you find when you know that you can go before your God and say, I am an imperfect person, but I work hard for you in your kingdom, and I am doing the things that you have asked of me. Please, let me be with you. I mean, God is opening his arms to us, asking us to be with him. It's a beautiful thing when you realize that you can overcome your trials and temptations with him. He's our helper. We don't have to fear this world. What's the worst the world can do to us? Take our lives? Torture us? It's unpleasant. It is. It's very rough. It's very awful. Being beat down time and time and time and time and time again to where your soul aches for death. But to realize that with God, even your aching soul can be mended. Even your heart, your mind, your everything about you can be turned around. Paul was a persecutor of Christians, right? And yet he wasn't too far gone to be saved. But do you think that he didn't eat, that guilt didn't eat him alive constantly every single day of his life for what he did to Christians? That's a trial right there, a temptation maybe. To be willing to say, I'm going to take a step back and say, no, I can't do this anymore. I'm too blemished. I'm too sinful to be able to do this. But it's not, because our God is our helper. And we see that Paul dedicated his life. And even when he was imprisoned, what is it that the kids were singing the other night with Paul and Silas being, was it Paul and Silas being in prison? Yeah, right? And they were singing. And because of that trial and temptation, they did the right thing with it. They leaned on the Lord. They relied on God. And not only was the jailer saved that night, but his entire family. That's the power of God. Because he was a doer of the word and not a hearer only. He overcame the mindset, the negative things of this life to bring forth positive direction to those that he was around. It is with confidence that he said that he ran the race, he finished the course, and that there was a crown of life in store for him. I want to be able to say that. It's a pretty exciting thing. We have confidence in God. Turn back over to James chapter 4. Looking at verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee far from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It seems out of context until you read the context of the verse, that last part there. But the important thing that I really do want to focus on is submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he's going to flee from us. Believe it or not, the devil is petrified of God. He has a very, very rebellious streak in him, one that is his own doing. I used to think that sin was doing the wrong thing. But then I realized that sin was not doing the right thing. Because sin doesn't necessarily have to be, I said a bad word or I did something that I shouldn't have done. No, sin can be as easy as not doing the right thing when you need to do the right thing. But when we submit to God and we resist the devil, he's going to draw near to us. Because God is holy. He's clean. He's pure. In him there is no darkness. So if we're part of darkness or we're succumbing to darkness, he cannot be a part of that. It is by his nature that he cannot be. But for us, we have the choice between light and darkness. We've been given a great responsibility there to choose that path of righteousness or of sin. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God gives, earlier in the text, in verse 6, he said, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You've heard probably sermons before about the humble being lifted up. You know, first shall be last shall be first, things of that nature. But cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. I mean, the context of the Bible, it's not a passage here, a passage there. I mean, it's the Bible. You read this thing as a whole, and you see the big picture. That is the most beautiful picture you've ever seen in your life. I promise you that. God loves us more than we can fathom. We had Mother's Day yesterday, right? It was Mother's Day yesterday. Forgive me, mothers. And I have been told about a mother's love. Not being a mother, I don't quite understand it. And I'll never be a mother, so I won't probably ever understand it. But I've been told it is one of the most impactful and deepest things in this world. But in this world, God's love goes probably a billion times beyond a mother's love for her own child. And that I can't even fathom, because I'm having trouble fathoming a mother's love for their child. You know what I mean? But God's love is so deep and so passionate for us that he wants us to be doers of the word. He wants us to overcome the challenges, and he is willing to help us. It doesn't matter how dark or purged we were, he is going, I'm sorry, dark or stained we were, he is going to purge that from us and willing to take us into his loving arms. That's a hard thing to do. But he asks the same thing of us. He asks the same thing of us when we're walking down the street and we stub our toe and we might want to say something that we shouldn't. He asks us to show the love back to him by saying, I love you more than my hurt foot. I'm going to say something that I shouldn't, because you never know who's listening. And any type of verbal outburst that we may give could be heard by anybody. And what if that verbal outburst brought somebody else down? And then what does that place upon our shoulders and the responsibility that we have? It is a mindset to constantly be working through the trials that come to us. Look at trials and temptations not as trials and temptations against you, but opportunities to prove to God you love him, to prove to God that this is something you're blessing me with. I'm going to find joy in this because you've given everything to me. And if the worst thing that can happen is you get tortured until you die, well, guess what? You get to go be with him. Is that really so bad? He loves us more than we can fathom, and it's through the trials and temptations that we can really appreciate his love. I have never felt closer to God until the times that I was so low to the ground that I could not get up by myself or anybody around me, that I was so small and insignificant that I could not even be seen by anybody. God was right there, and I was like in a magnifying glass to him, and he said, Christopher, get up. I'm right here. And he helped me. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. I told you before, my life has been wrought with trials and temptations and struggles, ones that I would not wish upon my worst enemy. But it's only through our God and His love, His unfathomable love, that we're able to come before Him, worship Him, sing praises to Him, be together as a group of individuals and Christians who love Him. I'm humbled by God, as every man should be. And those that don't know Him, oh, they're missing out. Which, of course, is why we're then asked to go tell them about God, right? It all makes sense. It all connects. It's beautiful. I'm sorry. I'll go on a tangent. And I don't need to do that. I challenged myself this year. My resolution was to be more patient. I get very irritated with inefficiencies and processes and whatnot. They're like little ticks in my head. And so I said, you know, God, I need patience. I really do. And then I got married. And I learned, I love my wife to death, but every married man here will know that when you're married, it takes a lot of patience. Because you're two people coming together and you've lived different lives, you've had different whatevers you have, you know, experiences, etc. And it takes a lot of patience to come together and work together. I asked God for patience. And little did I know how much He was going to test me with patience. No, it was not negative. It was, Christopher, here's an opportunity for you to do the right thing, or here's an opportunity for you to do the wrong thing. Which one are you going to choose? Free will. He gives us. And sometimes I've chosen the right one. And it's amazing when I do. It's great. But when I choose the wrong one, as great as when I chose the right one, is the opposite spectrum when I choose the wrong one. And I'm miserable. Because I didn't follow the guidelines that He has given to me, the rules and commandments that He has blessed me with, to be able to overcome the trials that He has said, which one are you going to choose? The devil brings forth trials, the devil brings forth temptations, and we'll say, which one are you going to choose? And he's hoping for one, and God's hoping for the other, the balance of light and darkness that we all try to talk about sometimes, and you know, it gets really philosophical really easily. But truth be told, it's a great opportunity. And I'm talking about this tonight because I want to encourage us all to think more about what's actually happening around us. What's happening when you have the opportunity to say, I can't believe you did that. That was ridiculous. You should not have done that. Blah, 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 blah. Versus, I love you. We all make mistakes. Let me help you fix whatever has gone wrong. God is here to help us. He's given us His Word to help us. And it's amazing that when you listen to what He's saying, when you listen to the words that He says, you can overcome any challenge. He has not given you any challenge that you can't overcome. But with that temptation, has provided a way of escape that you may endure it. Because sometimes I've been in situations where I said, I'm with the wrong crowd, I'm with the wrong people, and I'm about to go down a road that I don't want to go down. I can't stop. I'm not driving the car. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Maybe I'll get a rug burn or a road burn if I jumped out right now. I wouldn't die. But there's an escape. There's always an escape, but it's a mindset. We have to look for the ways to escape those challenges. We have to. It is only through God that I can be here today. The only reason I am alive right now is through the grace of God. The things that I've done in my life have been so dangerous and foolish that I should be locked up in jail, and I should be dead probably countless times. But for some reason, God gave me a second chance to say, okay, well, you failed that test. The devil's given me a couple opportunities to show that that's not it for me. That there's other opportunities for me to succeed those challenges and to look at my God and say, I am unworthy, thankful, but I'm striving for You each and every day. It is through His Word and His love that I am able to do so. If you would turn over to Revelation chapter 7, and we'll end there tonight. We'll get here in just a minute. I don't want anybody to think, young or old, that the trials can never be too much, because God tells us that's not true. And when you think about how much God rejoices when a fallen brother or sister comes back to Him, the parables that talk about the lost sheep, and the shepherd went to go find that sheep, the prodigal son that Alex referenced yesterday, the joy that God has when we come back to Him, He doesn't ever want us to be brought down by our trials and our temptations, but to overcome them with joy. Recognizing that, hey, I get an opportunity to prove to my God that I serve and love with all my heart, that I love Him. Because I can hear the Word all day long, but if I'm not doing the Word, then what merit is there? There is none. But if I can look at my God and say, I did what You asked, and I will continue to do what You asked through this temptation and the next, it's a beautiful thing. God loves us, and He wants to be with us. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This world's trials and temptations have brought many, many tears to my eyes. It has brought me down lower than I can ever imagine, that I don't ever want to go back to. But if I continue to persevere through the trials, to find the joy and the opportunities to serve my God, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no tears in heaven. We sing the song sometimes. God loves us, and He is wanting us to be with Him. And if we are stubborn-hearted and we don't want to serve Him because our trials and temptations are from Him, that's not true. We need to just think a little bit harder. We need to think a little bit deeper about what we actually went through. Because I guarantee you this, I wouldn't trade any of my trials and temptations because they made me who I am today. And while I'm not perfect, I'm striving to be. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm so much farther than where I was 5 years ago that I can rejoice. I wouldn't trade them for anything. They helped me experience some of the things that I was able to experience. They brought me in some crazy way to my wife, which I'm ever so thankful for. Sorry, I talk about her a lot. That's a good thing, right? She brought so much joy to my heart, but if it wasn't for some of the stuff that I thought was ridiculous that I was going through at the time, I never would have met her. The things that brought me to Arkansas to begin with, couldn't even imagine. But because I chose, along the way, my choices brought me to the happiest I've ever been in my life. And I have my God, no matter what. And that brings joy. When you focus on God and not yourself, and it's a hard thing to do. I get warm. I want to complain. When we focus on God and what He's asked from us, we have joy, brothers and sisters. True, unbelievable joy. And it's a hard thing to find, and it's a hard thing to keep because of how selfish we are. But I encourage you all to continue to fight the fight, to continue to fight against the trials and temptations, to recognize that you are more than conquerors. I am more than a conqueror because I have God, and I will always have God as long as I continue to strive to please Him. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them down in any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. If you have trials and temptations that you feel like you cannot deal with by yourself, you're wrong. Let's just be real about it right now. You're wrong. And God can help you with those. And everybody here that I've met, and I haven't even come here very long, but everybody that I've met has been open arms, because this is a community that loves each other, because we have our focus on God. We help each other through the hard times. We bear each other's burdens. We lift each other up. And we endure the sufferings together with joy knowing what our reward is. And if you don't have that reward, you are missing out on the best and most amazing blessing that you've ever experienced in your life. And while you're not going to be perfect, and there's going to be times that will bring you down, you will always have a family to lift you up, but more importantly, a father who will never let you be tempted beyond anything you are able to endure, but with that temptation will provide that way of escape so you may endure it. So if anybody is here is subject to God's invitation to come to Him, to be in His love, be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins, call upon Him with great rejoicing and gladness. Be saved while we stand and sing.